Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Well, these are concerning times for the LGBTQ community in Ireland, especially when it comes to safety on our streets and online. Despite positive developments in recent years, like marriage equality, other incidents such as the attack on Evan Summers in Dublin city centre have highlighted the real fears and vulnerabilities of the wider LGBT community. Bill Hughes is a TV producer from Mind the Gap Films, and I spoke to him before we came on air about these issues. I began by asking Bill for his reaction to events of recent weeks.
Oh, it's desperate, and it's like flashback time, because here we are, 40 years later, talking about murders in the same week, sadly. We had the incident of the young rugby player assaulted coming out of a gay bar last week. We have it all the time. It's rife.
Was there not, sorry to cut across you, Bill, but was there not a sea change? And I think that's what an awful lot of people thought after the marriage equality referendum, where a majority of people in this country resoundingly said yes to gay rights. I mean, was there not a sea change there?
There was a sea change in terms of the community being ratified, in a sense, having decriminalisation in 1993 and getting marriage equality. They're very, very strong steps forward. But for every person who voted, there are people who didn't vote in favour. And I'm not saying that the people who didn't vote in favour are homophobic, but they clearly have a problem. And I wonder what that problem is, and what fuels that problem, and how do they feel they can have their voices heard? Why are they anti the LGBT community? Why are they so against it? Like, I've been shouted at in the streets because I am an out and proud gay man. I have been shouted.
Because of your identity, Bill, is that it?
Yeah, you big poofter. Yeah, you know, I've had all kinds of insults thrown at me. And
really? Is that a regular occurrence?
It's not regular, but if you were on the receiving end of it, I can tell you, it only needs to happen once in a blue moon.
That's frightening,
to be enough to unsettle you.
Yeah,
you know.
How would you describe? I said it must be frightening, but how would you describe it? Characterize it? You're walking around the streets and you have that shouted at the very core of the essence of who you are. What does it feel like?
It makes you feel incredibly vulnerable. It makes you feel like there are people who want to harm you out there. And that's not a good feeling. You know, after in light of the documentary that was broadcast in February, I got a lot of people saying, you know, it's great for gays now. And my answer to them is, no, it isn't, because there are still people who want to know, why is there gay pride? Why do you have to tell people about your sexuality? And the reason for that is because there is so much criminalization of gay people in the world. Like in July this coming year, we're going to have the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham in the UK. And in the Commonwealth, there are 54 countries. And of those 54 countries, in 35 of them, it's illegal to be gay. 35 of the Commonwealth countries. There are 69 countries in the world where it's illegal to be gay. There are 15 countries in the world where you can be put to death for being gay. So give me a break that it's all very well. But I mean, with COVID, people said, as long as the virus is alive anywhere, it's alive for all of us. And homophobia, if it's alive anywhere, it's alive for
all. I understand the point you're making there, because I was going to say to you, just by way of devil's advocate, that, and pardon the pun here, I thought there was a sense of pride in the country that we were the first to actually vote for marriage equality.
And
I think there was a sense of pride at the time.
And we can't undo that. That's marvellous. And I'm thrilled. And I've taken advantage of it. It happened in 2015. It was ratified and it came into being in 2016. And myself and my partner got married in 2017. After 20 years together, we suddenly felt, right, we're part of the full community now. And so,
but
you're
saying to me, you're
not. I'm very pleased.
You're saying to me, you're actually not. In the day-to-day social fabric of the country, you feel still that some people feel you're a step apart or something. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. The vote wasn't unanimous, Cormac.
Yeah.
You know, there were whole counties that voted against it. So, you know, that has to be remembered.
So do you feel then free to roam, basically, Bill, on a Saturday night in Dublin? Or
yes, I do. However, it's not about being gay at the weekends. It's the Irish attitude to drunkenness, public drunkenness, rowdyism, where people can just, where a marauding group of drunks can do an awful lot of harm. And if you're just out walking through Grafton Street or walking through some on a Friday night, it can be like Beirut. I haven't walked in Temple Bar at night time in years because it's a terrifying space to be.
You're touching on general antisocial behaviour and the prospect of random attacks. And I can tell you, we discussed this in the programme recently, and my God, the tsunami of correspondence we got. So I think you've put your finger on something there, all right.
Yeah, and that crosses over into homophobia a lot of times. It's right there beside it, that I'm going to push you and hang on, you look like a gayer, I'm going to thump you. And that's dreadful that we have to put up with that. But we do. It is the way, you know, we could all live in cloud cuckoo land and say, aren't we marvellous and aren't we wonderful? And we could slap ourselves in the back and say, we've accepted the gays and we've given them marriage. What more do they want? Well, we want respect. We just want to be respected as people, that we can walk freely. And if we are trans, we want to walk freely. And if we are bisexual, we want to walk freely. And if we are lesbian, we want to walk freely.
You don't want to have to check yourself, as
exactly,
Rory O'Neill once said. So where does this happen then? Where do we initiate the process, in your opinion, Bill, for this to come to fruition?
In school. In school, kids have to be told, and I think they are, and I think it's going to take a while to filter through.
What is the education program they have to be given?
They have to be given that people are equal and that difference is not to be feared. It's just because somebody is different to you, and just because a boy likes a boy or a girl likes a girl doesn't make them any different from the boy who likes girls and the girl who likes boys. You know, there's no difference. It is everybody is a unit in themselves and should be respected for their bodily autonomy and should be respected for their own way of life.
So what do you think the education programs we have had to date have indoctrinated in our younger people, who are now marauding the streets, or who cause it to be like Beirut, as you say in your own words?
Well, that's where a culture of casual homophobia is not checked in the school. You know, when people hear, and it's not checked in the home. You can't put it all on teachers. It's just sometimes you have families where one member uses abusive language, and then everybody feels licensed to use abusive language. And it doesn't take long for that abusive language to spill over.
So what about the media? You're also a media man, Bill. I mean, are we as much to blame as anyone else?
We used to be so much worse, and we're getting better. But there's still, you know, there are still people within the media who are uncomfortable with the idea of gay acceptance.
Can you sum up for me then? Because what you've outlined in this interview, this short interview, Bill, is that there needs to be a culture change, a change in the way we view society from the root to the fruit. That's not an easy thing. It's difficult. And are you saying this is not going to happen overnight? It could take it could take 10 years at least.
It will take 10 years. And that's, you know, I don't think I'll be around to see the benefit of it. But everybody should take responsibility for their own behaviour. And they don't. So many people abdicate responsibility for their behaviour, particularly if they're drinking or if they're on drugs or whatever they're using as a stimulant, that they just in some way remove any sense of responsibility for their own actions. That is the core of where society has a problem, is that people are just not fully cognizant of what they need to be taking on board. My responsibility as a member of society is to behave responsibly. That's a simple mantra.
It's a simple concept or assertion, yeah, but there's an awful lot behind it, isn't there?
I think
you've given us an awful lot of food for thought and possibly made people stop and think. Bill Hughes, TV producer from Mind the Gap Films, a real pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed.
Colin.